Great Barrington, Massachusetts artist Susie Banks Baum has spent the past 3 years developing an arts residency in Armenia. She teaches women bookbinding techniques deeply tied to the country's history and culture. As she fundraises to return for a new round of workshops next month, Banks Baum sat down with WAMC to talk about what initially drew her to Armenia, the women she works with, and the country's long-held traditions around books.
Armenia is the first Christian nation, so they have the longest tradition of building hand-bound books that would originally contain the Gospels, translating the Gospels into Armenian. And over generations, those illuminated manuscripts have contained their philosophy, their botany, the science, all of their writings about village practices, and that tradition has continued into the last century. But women have never been part of that practice.
So tell me about what you're doing in Armenia today.
I run a book arts residency called New Illuminations, which connects women to that hand-bound book tradition by teaching them the Coptic stitch bookbinding technique. And we are learning the traditional Armenian binding style, which is not taught anywhere in the world except by these Armenian scholars. And it's a very... In the conservation world, it's well known, but in the book arts world, nobody knows how to do it. And so I'm connecting these women to this tradition that has never been practiced by women and letting them carry it forward into contemporary expression.
So how did this relationship with Armenia begin and the specific community in the country that you work with?
Sure. I first went to Armenia with John Stanmeyer, who's a National Geographic photographer who has lived in Otis for many years, and now he lives in Housatonic. And John took a group of photojournalists to Gyumri in March of 2016. And I joined that group, and I went and interviewed 25 women artists, really just curious about their life in a country that is so steeped in the patriarchy. I was very curious about how they do their work, how they live, what the conditions of their lives are. And what I discovered in that is that in a deeply traumatized population, women have very little opportunity and they're not connected in community.
So how did you put together the seeds of this into an actual project you could carry out there in the community?
I brought the seeds back from that original interview period with John, taking my own photographs and developing my own story. I came back and just felt like, clearly, I have some skills here that match the need of that community of women in Gyumri, Armenia. Lacking in community, I'm a community builder. No idea about the book arts, I teach the book arts. Personal narrative writing, any kind of inquiry into their daily real lives, not these sort of airbrushed, perfect persona that the patriarchy likes women to look like. I felt like I have these unique skills. So I came back, I talked to my friend Christian Van Genhoven at Wham Theater. I talked to a lot of the other community organizers in the Berkshires, and I realized I can raise money for this residency and send myself back. And that's exactly what I did. In November of 2016, I raised $8,000. Went back, funded myself to teach a workshop, and I've done that now for 3 years running as teaching a group of artists that have now grown into an advanced group of women artists. Some of them are now beginning to teach, to sell their work. I have an ongoing call for beginners to join us. So the project grows because of their interest and their commitment and the confidence and the autonomy that they're gaining through new skills, a sense of community, being able to create and generate income through their artwork, and a sense of really being witnessed and seen. I think Armenians feel, native Armenians in the country, they're the 73rd poorest nation in the world. They feel so under the radar. The UN considers them a country of little consequence. They're not in dire need, but they're in great need. And so women's lives there are very circumscribed by social expectation, and they don't really feel seen by the world. They're sort of a popular, you know, the Kardashian kind of Americanized version of Armenian women. But that is really not at all what the real Armenian women experience and live.
On a sort of day-to-day level, what is it like to be an Armenian, work with this community in this program you put together?
The women that I work with generally are women who are either young artists who have just graduated from the Arts Academy and are looking for ways to make a living. They all live at home. Very few women in Gyumri live away from their families until they're married. The expectation is you get a really good education as a woman, and then you get married, and you move into your in-laws' home, and you begin to have a family. And your career goals, your professional life is really set aside to generate the next, you know, the next generation of young Armenians. So motherhood is highly prized and valued in Armenia, but women's lives as autonomous, contributing members of a society beyond motherhood is not really valued. So the women I work with are women who have jobs in factories or jobs in teaching and education, very low paid. You wouldn't believe what people make in a week there. Live in very difficult circumstances and make their art whenever and however they can. Very few people, I think, identify themselves as artists who make a living as artists.
So at this point, 3 years into the project, what are the results that you've seen and what do you hope to get out of this newest visit to the country?
So the most clear results have been happening in the last 6 months. Two of the younger women who I've been teaching since the first residency have now been invited to teach. One of them, who's only 20 years old, and I've known since she was 17, her name is Yenona. And last year she got married. That's one way to find a way out of Armenia. She was, you know, she's very much in love. I don't diminish her desire to get married. But as a professional, she felt like she couldn't advance without leaving Armenia. So she and her husband have moved to a city in Russia about 17 hours northeast of Gyumri. And she's begun to teach. She's been invited to teach this book practice in an art center, which is a giant advance for her in terms of being able to create and generate income and do her own work. Another young artist, similar age, has been invited to teach in another region of Armenia in a youth center to teach painting and bookmaking. So the fact that both of them are teaching skills that they've learned in this workshop is a great indication to me that there's interest and desire among Armenians to learn and opportunities for these women beyond what they're experiencing in their daily life right now. And what I hope to experience in this coming workshop, this coming residency, we have been in partnership with the Matandararan, which is the manuscript center, the home and conservation and research center for these illuminated manuscripts in Yerevan, in the capital city. And they have been providing us with a specialist to teach us this Armenian binding style, which is not taught anywhere else in the world, as far as I can find. And this is our second year learning this really difficult and ancient practice. And my hope is that this year, the group of advanced artists will, I don't know if you can master it in 2 years, but they certainly will have it in their hands and be able to carry it forward. It's like an American encountering quilting and the fine stitchings that you do in quilting. And having that tradition be dormant or not accessible to you because of your gender. And imagine a young person picking that tradition up and expressing it in a contemporary fashion. That's what's happening with these women, with learning this traditional binding style and taking it into contemporary books. So that that part of the momentum of this project is awkward and difficult because it's a very hard binding style, but the women, like, they take to it like they were born to it. I'm the one stumbling over the stitches in my little American fingers, but they're Armenian hands. They take up these fine silk threads and these very sharp needles and these little tiny little stitches, and they just do it. It's extraordinary, Josh. It's really amazing.
So on the other side of this, obviously you have to fundraise and budget this, make this like feasible for you to do year to year. What's that process like? What goes into funding this? And what are you looking to gather for this next trip?
So I have, I partner with an organization called Fractured Atlas, which is a resource for artists who seek a not-for-profit status without having to go through all of the organizational requirements for that. So I raise money. I raise about $11,000 to fund this residency, which pays for me, pays for, I pay as much Armenian staff as I can, translator, coordinator, photographer. I pay lunches for the women artists. I pay their travel stipends. I get myself to Armenia. That's a piece, all of it to itself. So I raise money through Fractured Atlas, which provides people with a tax-deductible donation. And I do that simply through the mailing list that I have, which people can access through my website, suzybanksbaum.com. And if they search for New Illuminations, it'll come right up. And in the past, I've done live events here in the Berkshires. I've given talks about this project. But this year, I'm really trying to keep my budget very small and light and nimble. So I'm only doing it through fundraising.